Evening, welcome. Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission meeting, September 19th, 2013.
21st.
Oops.
Take two up.
Take two. November 21st, 2013. Sorry about that.
That's wrong.
I got the wrong page. We'll call the meeting to order. The roll call. I believe that all commissioners are here. We will say that there is one opening. One vacancy, correct? We'll start with some announcements. We'll start to the left here. Moment of silence right now. All right. We'll have some announcements. If any commissioners have some announcements, we'll start with the left-hand side here, Karen.
I don't have anything right now.
Morro Bay High School Music Department, their winter concert is Monday night for choir at the PAC, December the 3rd. The band is Wednesday night at the PAC, December 5th, 7 o'clock. Tickets are available at the door. Morro Bay High School Athletic Department has the CIT wrestling tournament January 10th and 11th, which is the largest and oldest high school wrestling tournament in the state of California.
Good.
I don't have any announcements. Al?
None.
I'd just like to remind everybody that December 1st is the Merchant Street Fair. Everybody attend there and help the local merchants out. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe we have some announcements from staff.
We do this evening. Thank you, Chair Bates. This evening with staff, we have some you may not have seen before. Karen Sweeney is our sports supervisor. Mike Wilcox is our maintenance superintendent. And, you know, Celeste English, our office administrative technician. And I'm Joe Woods, the Recreation Parks Director. We do have some announcements, so I'll turn it over to staff.
First of all, we would like to thank the community for support of the Estero Bay Youth Soccer Program. Our All-Stars had some fundraising efforts this past weekend, and we were able to reduce the cost for our All-Stars for our participants from $135 per child to $20 per child with support from local businesses in forms of sponsorships and our drive-through barbecue. So thank you to the community for your support. We have three boys teams participating in two tournaments. One in Los Osos on December 14th and 15th, and in Orchid on December 7th and 8th. Also, we're ramping up for the Estero Bay youth basketball season, and we do need some volunteer coaches. So if anyone is interested in coaching youth basketball, please contact our office. We have a few fifth, sixth grade teams that would love to have some volunteers helping them with their season. So thank you.
And I had a couple follow-ups, if I could, Chair. On the board, we're advertising on our posters the Community Holiday Tree Lighting Program. It's an annual event. It happens at City Park. And this year it will be December the 7th, which is Saturday. It starts at 4:30. A lot of fun activities, very family-oriented. Even couples or singles come on out to City Park, start off the holidays with our big tree lighting, and then head on down to the Lighter Boat Parade, which is later in the evening. Along the Embarcadero. I, too, would like to thank those who came out and participated and supported the Morro Bay Community Foundation at our annual Morro Bay Sings concert series. And this year we sang Morro Bay Sings Elvis Presley songs. It was very successful. Our next program with the foundation will be February the 15th, 2014, and that is called Love Letters, which is a small play. Very nice production and very much in theme with Valentine's Day. So those are a couple of events that are happening, and we always thank the community for their support.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. I believe we have a presentation up next. Mike Wilcox, maintenance superintendent, is going to discuss utility savings analysis.
This is a presentation I prepared for the Maintenance Superintendents Association in our regional chapter in August of this year. And it just highlights some of our success stories with our efforts over the last 3 to 3.5 years of energy and water savings, utility savings in general. Small steps to big green savings. This graphs that you're going to see are representative of 7 years worth of data that I've collected on these select facilities. There's many more out there. These are probably the most dramatic ones that I want to present tonight. So the latter, the data, of course, if I were to throw it up there in a scatter graph, would be very confusing. So what I've done is interpreted in trend lines. Centennial Parkway, which incorporates everything from Market Street, rather, down to the waterfront. And you'll see in the blue is our potable water, and red is irrigation and electricity usage. Some of the things that we've done at this facility, we've done turf and sprinkler removal. We've installed low-flow Sloan valves. The Sloan valves are at the urinals and the toilets. None of our fixtures were originally purchased. They're all pretty old. They were not originally purchased as low-flow fixtures. But we did trial and error with several different valve configurations, and we put the lowest flow ones we could in at each facility. We installed a tankless water heater. This facility also serves as our laundromat for all of our custodial towels, mop heads, so on and so forth. So we eliminated the 30-gallon water heater. We were able to get in a very small tankless water heater at that facility. And we've replaced 13 of the 150-watt high-pressure sodium fixtures with 20-watt LED fixtures. Tidelands Park, you have another pretty severe drop on the trend line with the irrigation water. And some of the things we've done at this park. I'm gonna breeze through the bullet points because they're pretty similar. And you know, once we found something that worked, we replicated it again at another site. We've installed a tankless water heater for the heated showers at Tidelands Park. Installed low-flow Sloan valves. Replaced 9 of the 150-watt fixtures throughout the stairwells and along the waterfront side tie dock and the park with 20-watt LED fixtures. We replaced the 1,500-watt high-pressure sodium bollard lamps with 13-watt LED lamps. And we've installed a CalSense controller that's linked to a central command and weather station at City Park and also up at the community center. I have 6 of these throughout the city now. Very dramatic savings in water overall. We're realizing about a 45 to 50% savings in water consumption at the irrigation. City Park, another dramatic trend line drop with the irrigation water. We converted sprinklers to drip irrigation. We've installed low-flow Sloan valves. We replaced high-pressure sodium lamps with LED fixtures. Replaced the 100-watt flagpole spotlight with an 18-watt LED spotlight. And we added a redundant solar light. Once again, we've installed CalSense radio link with central command and weather station. Lila Kaiser Park, very dramatic trend line drop at Lila Kaiser. Actually, one of the biggest impacts we had there is we negotiated a non-potable water rate. The well at Lila Kaiser is non-potable water. And when we're able to run on that, which is about 9 to 10 months out of the year, it's not having to run through the desal plant. So it's a greatly reduced price structure for us at that location only. I installed low-flow Sloan valves. We replaced incandescent scoreboards with the LED scoreboards. We've replaced 5 400-watt metal halide fixtures in the parking lot with 10 20-watt fixtures. And 6 60-watt incandescent fixtures at the barbecue area with 13-watt LED fixtures. Another site where we installed the CalSense controller. Cloisters, maybe not so dramatic on the irrigation. We've seen a little bit of increase with the potable water, and with electricity. Electricity is the fact that we actually got all the lights working out there. We've replaced the T8 fixtures, which are the T8 fluorescent lamps like you see in these lights, with with 20-watt LED fixtures inside the restrooms. We installed low-flow Sloan valves, repaired lights and reset time clocks for parking lot lights, and installed a CalSense controller. Del Mar, maybe not so dramatic with a trend line. That park has a high tendency for leaks, which throw all of our efforts askew sometimes. But we were able to replace all 21 light standards throughout that park with originally had 150-watt high-pressure sodium fixtures with 20-watt LED fixtures. We've removed about a quarter acre of turf for the new tennis courts. We've installed low-flow Sloan valves. And once again, we've installed the central command CalSense controller. Community center. Seen a nice decrease in electricity for a facility that's that size and that busy. One of the things to comment on the community center is that the facility usage has gone up dramatically in the last 3 years. So it's impressive to me to see that we still have a decrease in some of the utilities. We've replaced 21 17-watt fluorescent exit signs with 4-watt LED signs. It seems like a small drop in wattages, but it's huge because those signs, much like the ones you see in this facility, they run 24/7, 365 days a year. Replaced 7 of the 100-watt wall packs, those are the lights around the outside of the building, with 20-watt LED fixtures. Replaced 13 of the 150-watt high-pressure parking lot lights, high-pressure sodium parking lot lights, with 20-watt LED fixtures. And we've replaced 3 of the 70-watt high-pressure sodium bollards in the front of the building with 6 13-watt LED lamps. Replaced all of the T8 fluorescent lamps throughout the building with from 32-watt to 28-watt. Installed low-flow Sloan valves. We've installed IPAN surge protectors at every workstation. IPAN surge protector is a surge protector that shuts off most of the components at your workstation if you're not there for 30 minutes. It has a motion sensor built into it. Not everybody likes them, but they work well. Replace the refrigerators, not so much out of energy savings as much as it was needed. 20-year-old refrigerators and freezer, but we did replace them with energy efficient models. And we installed a tankless water heater in the kitchen. Here at this building, we've seen a decrease in electricity due to the replacement of the fluorescent sign, the exit signs with LED signs. Replaced the wall packs around the outside. We had a variety of wall packs, anywhere from 150, 70-watt, 400-watt metal halide, and we standardized those to a 13-watt LED fixture. We've replaced 7 of the 70-watt bollards out in front with 13-watt LED lamps. Replaced all the T8 fluorescents from 32-watt to 28-watt. We've installed low-flow Sloan valves, and we've replaced the refrigerator with an energy efficiency model. This refrigerator was 28 years old. Morro Bay PD, nice decrease in electricity at that site, primarily due to lighting changes and the fact that we were able to reduct. Once again, we've got parking lot lights, we've got entry lights, and we've got T8 reduction in wattage on the T8 lamps throughout the interior of the building. Another big project we had a couple years ago is we reducted the HVAC systems to match the actual building layout. Over several years of different chiefs and different needs for that facility, walls had been moved, offices had been changed around, and believe it or not, some of the ductwork wasn't even connected to office space, to working spaces. Public services building, a lot of the same stuff we did over here, primarily lighting, exit signs. Those were, they went from fluorescent LED, all the T8 lamps on the interior, exterior lamps on the building, went from high-pressure sodium to LED, and we've installed the IPAN surge protectors at most of the workstations, actually at every workstation. City Hall, not so successful in electricity, and we'll go through some of the same items, in fact, all of the same items at this site. Primarily lighting, once again, low-flow Sloan valves, installed the surge protectors, and we installed a tankless water heater. What we have also seen at City Hall over the course of the last couple of years is we've brought the phone system in-house and all of the hardware that goes along with that phone system. Servers have increased in capacity, and we're seeing a tendency to have 2 monitors at every workstation. So we've tried, but they fought back. Teen Center. The Teen Center is interesting. We have not done a lot at the Teen Center over the last couple of years. Staff's implemented minor energy savings for projects at Rocky's Teen Center, like the T8 lamp replacement, low-flow Sloan valves, but the energy consumption has increased dramatically, and these projects have been dwarfed by the abundance of use at this site until recently. And this is not very easy to see. I pulled this directly off of PG&E's website. But this is 9-10 months worth of data showing our energy consumption at that site. And if I had a pointer here, you can see the little one at the end. That's actually there's my pointer. That's actually negative consumption. We've gone from using energy to producing energy at Rockies Teen Center. This bill, although we still have to pay to have a meter, we're essentially not paying anything for electricity at Rockies Teen Center. On September 30th, staff flipped the switch on a brand new photovoltaic power generation system. The solar installation was made possible through a partnership between Estero Bay Solar Solutions, the City of Moore Bay, and a few select solar equipment manufacturers. Many thanks to Solar World, Pro Solar, Quick Mount PV, and Miner's Ace Hardware for their generous contributions that made this project possible. And that's a picture of the solar system at Rocky Steen Center. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox.
Any questions?
I do have a question. What's a redundant solar light?
A redundant solar light. We had a bit of a mix-up a couple years back when a light failed for the flagpole at City Park. And okay. In order to help alleviate that or eliminate that in the future, we've tried to install a solar backup light so that both lights will shine on that flag at any given time, and hopefully when the power goes down, the one that was powered by battery or solar power will at least still illuminate the flag.
Okay.
It's technically against a lot of flag at night if it's not lit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Good work.
Yeah, that's real good work. A lot of that stuff's in the background, and to see all those cost savings with the use of the technology and different technologies, I'm sure it's pretty rewarding for you.
Yeah, it's been very rewarding. It's been very successful. Some of the funding came through PG&E directly as free money, and the remainder of the funds that we've used to date have come through an EECBG, Energy Efficiency Conservation Block Grant. And then some other funds we've been able to, with our savings, been able to reinvest in things like the refrigerators. And hopefully we can go into another phase and look at our HVAC systems, which are reaching the end of their useful life.
Does anybody else have any questions, comments?
I'd just like to thank the solar system there, Brian. I know Brian put it up there. That's pretty amazing. We went down from to zero. I mean, actually putting money back through the solar system, that's pretty great. So. Just want to thank him for that.
If I could, Chair, I had one comment. Part of what Mike's been doing is reducing our fixed expenses, obviously, and reducing our use of utilities. But another thing that should be noted, and it wasn't during the Centennial Parkway, is when Mike and his crew went down there and replaced those lights to LED lights, they just didn't go up and hang those lights at the same height that the 250 high-pressure sodiums or mercury vapor lights, that we actually went in there and cut those poles down a good, 8 to 10?
Yeah, considerable.
Yeah, right around 8 foot each down lower. So when you're at Centennial, either on the staircase or above, and even below, you can see there's a height change, and the view corridor is opened up quite a bit. So it isn't a matter of just changing out light fixtures. It's looking at the whole site and putting in a plan that's comprehensive and that works with everything that's within that park and that area. So I wanted to make note of that it isn't just a quick in and out. It's more of a comprehensive approach to our utility use. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll open it up for a public comment. Looks like we'll have some tonight. Members of the audience wish to come up. Please spell your last name.
Spell it?
Yeah, say your name and spell your last name for the...
Trina Dougherty, Dougherty, and resident of Morro Bay. I have my Morro Bay Friends of the Library hat on tonight as vice president. And as many of you know, after years of saving and raising funds, Morro Bay Friends of the Library are just inches away from having the money needed to begin major remodeling of the library building. Only $25,000 more is needed before the work can begin on the $500,000 project, which will completely refurbish and redesign the interior of the 30-year-old facility at the corner of Shasta and Harbor. If we reach our goal by the end of the year, construction could begin as soon as February, so that is really great news. With that goal in mind, the Friends will be selling raffle tickets for a great assortment of prizes during the annual Home for the Holiday Street Fair, which Bob mentioned, on Sunday, December 1st in downtown Morro Bay. Our booth will be located at the corner of Morro Bay Boulevard and Monterey Street. Prizes have been donated by several local merchants, including Beach House Bistro, Richard Rao Clayworks, Aloha Shirt Shop, Coast Electronics, House of Jerky, Riddell's Smokehouse, Skin Stop, Grill Hut, and Judy Salamaca's donating a copy of her book, The Baker's Field, which is actually about Bakersfield, and a gift certificate to D'Estacia's restaurant. Debbie Albrecht is donating a handmade quilt, so there'll be some more gifts or raffle items on that day. All the proceeds from the raffle will go to the library remodel project with hopes of reaching the $500,000 mark sometime that day. Would be fabulous. The library's fundraising campaign recently received a huge boost with a $100,000 gift from the estate of Bertha Schultz. And many of you are aware of some of the other donations that she made, including to our own fire department here. She and her husband, Robert Schultz, owned a plumbing business in Morro Bay in the 50s and 60s before they moved to Atascadero. And Ms. Schultz died in June of this year, leaving a generous amount to several public agencies and organizations. We're extremely grateful to Ms. Schultz for her extraordinary gift, and combining with the generous contributions of many people over the years, it puts us in a position to move forward with this much-needed remodeling project sooner than we had hoped for. So those who are unable to attend the street fair but wish to donate, put us over the top at mbfol.org. Please, everybody, come visit us at the Morro Bay Friends of the Library booth. It'll be at the corner of Morro Bay Boulevard and Monterey. The street fair is 9 to 4. And help us cross the library remodel finish line. We're almost there. So thank you.
Thank you.
Is this good? Is that good?
Yes.
Good evening, and thank you for being here tonight. We appreciate this opportunity to speak with you. My name is Marlise Battistella, MarlyseBattistella. And my husband and I have the fishing vessel Preamble. And along with me tonight is Kathy Moore, Moore. And she and her husband have the fishing vessel Rosemar. And Susan Cephalou Meharry couldn't be with us this evening. And her and her husband have the fishing vessel Maureen. And she is the chair of our committee. We are here. We are the Sculpture Committee of Central Coast Women for Fisheries. And we are here this evening to update you on the progress of our Fisherman's Family Sculpture. Well, that kind of does it, huh? Okay, all right. 5.5 years ago, in April of 2008, we received the City Council's approval for our concept and site location for a Fisherman's Family Memorial, which has been renamed. Our fundraising efforts were adding up, and we displayed our bronze maquette set to them. This bronze maquette, these bronze maquette set are what the actual sculpture is going to look like. And we bought seven of these. Elizabeth made seven of these for us, and they were used as a tool as a fundraiser. We sold them and Okay, stay on the mic, all right. Got it. Our community art project was embraced by the city, and we were guaranteed the placement site where we had chosen, and we were included in the city's Northern Waterfront Implementation Plan, known as the NWIP. Is that it? During the past 3 years, Susan, our chair, has worked closely with Joe Woods on the design concept for the site. Completion and delivery of our sculpture was scheduled for last May, but our delivery date was postponed till spring of 2014. The reason for the delay was that Elizabeth McQueen was commissioned by the town of Birmingham, Alabama, to design and cast the sculpture to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the 1963 16th Street Church bombing, where four little girls were killed. The Four Spirits was unveiled on September 15th, 2013. Fortunately, this unforeseen postponement has allowed us the time to raise the remaining $29,000 in funds needed to fulfill our financial obligation to the artist. Also, it has given us the opportunity to appeal to Parks and Recreation. We are asking you to please consider the allocation of funds for the completion of the site that will receive our sculpture. Our financial obligation to the city will be fully funded to the installation of the three pieces, and at that time, Central Coast Women for Fisheries will gift the sculpture to the city of Morro Bay for eternity. We appreciate your consideration, and we look forward to working together as our gift to the city comes to fruition. Thank you. Any questions? No? Okay.
I was wondering, can we get... Maybe I was noticing when the sculptures were on the overhead and they were pretty much just shadows on the... Is there any way you can just...
You want to hold them?
Hold one in front of the camera
or
something?
You want to hold them? They're nice.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Now we have some literature for you if you want... I don't know the protocol. Should we...
Absolutely. I don't know. Maybe I'm asking for the impossible, but... Okay. Thank you. Yeah, they're too pretty for that. I can just, that's good. Yeah, that'll be good.
The camera's not going to get it.
Oh, you'll put the boy here too.
There you go.
I have a question. Will the finished product?
Commercial fishermen, that's what they do. They wait. And the children. Yeah. And the parents and the grandparents.
Okay. We have more. Can we just get a quick shot of this for the audience, and we'll continue on? It's a little nicer than the shadow, huh?
Walks in all the houses.
Okay. Thank you.
It's American tradition. So the fishwives wait.
Over life size.
Oh. Thank you, guys. We'll continue with more public comment if anybody's interested in the audience.
Hi, my name's Catherine Thomas, Thomas. I have not done this before, so I didn't prepare anything. I'm just coming with enthusiasm. I think that you have stuff in your packets regarding pickleball, which is the fastest growing sport in America that nobody's ever heard of. And California is third behind Arizona and Florida in terms of number of players, and it's growing massively. I want to get pickleball into Morro Bay. We already have it in Cambria. Paso's got a great program going. And Atascadero is getting one started and will be up and running in March. And I think that we should get one down here. It's has anybody ever heard of pickleball other than... Okay. I think... Did I talk with you at some point? Okay, so I talked to somebody. I don't remember who. Oh, it was you?
Spoke to me.
Ah, okay. It's basically good for over 50s who like to play tennis but can't anymore because we've all had shoulder problems or shoulder surgery. It's an underhand sport played on a badminton-sized court with a, you know, set up the courts and do the lining and everything like that, and what a good site would be. It can be indoor or outdoor, as I said. And I have the information that you have, plus I brought a fact sheet that includes some of the prices, what the startup costs would be for something like this. It's pretty minimal compared to most things. And a few other details about the type of equipment that is needed. So that's my spiel for tonight. I don't have anything else other than what I've already given you, except that I would like to really see pickleball started here, and I will do whatever I have to do to help get it going. Yes, I do.
I think there should be enough
I have a question relative to pickleball. What's the possibility of having a set up a live demonstration?
Oh, no problem. I mean,
in other words, if we get people that are interested, I'm sure that a lot of my tennis colleagues would be very interested. Someone to come out and actually do a step-by-step description of how it's played. And
Jack Hodges is the USA Pickleball Association representative for the Central Coast. And he's the one who's willing to come down. He's got all the equipment already, so he can set up the nets and everything to do a demonstration and even do a clinic. All we have to do is advertise it. He's also got people that will come. I mean, I've got people here already that'll go. So he's got, I think it's he and his wife. I'm not sure who his partner is, but anyway, it's a female that was at the last clinic, and I'm not sure if that's who he's married to or what. But anyway, we've got four people right here that we can demonstrate it. But I don't think it would be a problem, and we could advertise it, and we could do it wherever. The park at South and Shasta, Monty, whatever it is. Yeah, we could do it there, or we could do it indoors, which would probably be preferable because we do have a fair amount of wind here. So it would be nice if we had an indoor court somewhere, but he could set that up at the auditorium. It would be easy to do, and we could do it fairly expeditiously.
How many courts are you asking for?
Two. At least two to start.
Would it require, for example, if we took an existing tennis court like Monty Young,
yep,
two courts there, would it require to have everything painted?
You would have to have different lines put on because it is a badminton-style court, so you could have different colored lines, which is what some of the tennis courts have done. And then the net itself is 2 inches lower, and there is a modifier that you can buy that will lower the net, or you can just lower the net, you know, if you want to just put it down to 34 inches instead of 36. But there are modifiers that you can buy for $35.
Instead of painting, what's the possibility of using colored tape?
There is tape, and the tape is relatively inexpensive. At some point, if it's going to become an issue where, you know, it's wearing off, then that would become a problem, and we might want to go to something more permanent. But there is there is tape out there specifically for pickleball courts. And I think on the fact sheet, in fact, I listed what the cost was, which is like about $8 for a roll.
We can look into that. We can look into that if you'd like us to.
Excellent. Any other questions?
I was just wondering, have you put on any feelers as far as the interest in the community for this?
I have. I've got a little under, between 18 and 24 people who are very interested. Jack said that when he first did it in Paso, he got one person at his first clinic. He had a 100% increase at his second clinic, and now they have like 40 players, and that was all within the past year. When I went to the first clinic ever in Atascadero, we had 16 players there already. It's getting well known, and so I took names from people that said that they would be interested, and I was at the tennis courts the other day to talk to a few people. I didn't get a chance because they were pretty busy because they had a lot of people there, but the people that I did talk to were interested. It's a great sport. It's a good sport for kids under 10 who want to move into tennis, and it's a good sport for over 50 who have to move out of tennis or at least do something a little bit less arduous on their body. It's not a power sport. It's a finesse sport, and that's what makes it really attractive to people.
I'm one of the tennis coaches at the high school, and probably in the last 2 years I've had at least four people ask me if there are any, mostly tourists coming through town that are playing tennis, asking me if there's a pickleball court in town.
Yeah, they've got the RV parks now are listing when they have pickleball courts available, and Cambria is getting a lot of people that come through specifically because they read on the website that there was pickleball available, and it's becoming very popular. It's a nice sport because it's inexpensive as well as good.
My question is for staff. Is there space and time available with the gyms that are currently being used for basketball and indoor soccer? What's that like?
That's a good question.
Thank you. Determining factor. So my vote will depend on whether there's space or not.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared to get into all the details. This was a public comment item. There is a correspondence in your packet under A2, and I'd be happy to do any kind of a little follow-up at that time. if the commission feels it's appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Correct, yeah. Thank you for your comment. Okay. Definitely consider it.
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Continue with public comment. Anybody else?
As long as I'm here, my name is Nancy Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, citizen of Morro Bay. And tonight I'm representing Morro Bay Beautiful. We are once again having our wonderful Christmas lights contest. Be sure you get your lights out and your penguins and Santas and everything all blown up and ready to go, because our elves will be out checking the whole city all the way from one end to the other on Friday night, the 13th of December, and Saturday night, the 14th of December. And then everyone is invited to join us on the trolley at 5 o'clock on Monday the 16th to hand out the awards. Carla's Country Kitchen is sponsoring this event, and so we will have some wonderful gift certificates from her, as well as the winners get a nice big sign in their yard until sometime in January. So if you want more information, you can call me at 772-3738. So we're expecting to have a wonderful contest this year.
Thank you. I guess that concludes public comment. Start with the consent calendar. Close public comments. It's closed. We could start the consent calendar. Are you looking for a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept A1 and A3 for file and pull A2 and A4 just for review.
Yeah. I need a second.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Mr. Woods, could we start with A2?
Certainly. Thank you. A2 is correspondence. We have two correspondents for you this evening. One is from Phil Hornberg. He lives out at Morro Cove. He is representing that group in this correspondence. This is the Morro Cove Homeowners Association. They have an annual meeting in October. This year it was the 5th. They had a couple of issues they wanted to bring to the attention of the city and a couple of the concerns about the area. Please note that the Morro Cove Homeowners Association has adopted Morro Cove as through our park Adopt a Park program. So that's been definitely a year, possibly 2 years, memory strikes me. A couple of their concerns were, is their contract for Adopt a Park, does it include any tree trimming? And the answer is no. We don't allow folks to come on our city properties, particularly parks, and do any tree trimming or anything of the sort. We do have agreements from time to time for some of that work to be done outside of city staff, and those are separate agreements, and those are monitored case by case and definitely balanced at this particular park, balanced with the environmental report as well as the master plan for that park. So there are some issues that we keep these two separate. And the other is an issue is, does the city appreciate or does the city like the way that they're maintaining the park? And we have a great amount of gratitude and appreciation for all their efforts at this particular park, though it isn't a huge effort as far as maintaining, but they've been very consistent. They have a couple other concerns regarding the vegetation there that, or lack of, and basically there's a high activity of dogs that frequent this area because it is a linear type of a park along the bluff on Morro, just north of the Island Street staircase. And We do have a Mutt-Mitt dispenser at both ends of this particular park, and we may consider a third, but right now we're going to stick with the two. And they have mentioned the appearance of homeless people living on at summer with the tree committee, and we're and this particular site, Morro Cove, is definitely a site that we're looking at for some of that tree planting. As far as the habitat and the homeless, part of the improvements that we'll be looking to do at this park would be to put in some type of a fencing along that habitat, very low-key, similar to the type of fencing we put up at North Point. It's just one black cable that goes to a singular pole. It's a little eyelet, and then it strings through. You might have seen them at state park boundaries and so forth. They're very low-key, not much of a visual impact, but more of an awareness to the park participant that, hey, this is a habitat, this is a sensitive area, you need to try to stay out. So those are some of the things that we're going to come back to you when we do a proposal to do some improvements at that park, and that would also include an improved walkway and maybe some other type of vegetation that would help facilitate the return of the monarch butterflies. And right now at Bayshore, which is just south of this park, we have some pollinating gardens that we've put in. We've been successful in bringing in butterflies and hummingbirds and bees, and hence the name pollinating gardens. And so we're hoping that maybe some of that will transfer up into Morro Cove, and we'll have some plant success, low water, flowers, and the wind is a big thing. And so right now, if we can knock the wind down and bring the right plants in, we may get the butterflies back. That's our hope, and that's our intent. And we are certainly working with Phil and his group up there. They've noticed no butterflies this year. I've seen a few in the area, but not so much at Morro Cove. So we have our work cut out for us to bring back the monarch butterflies, but that's our intent. And the other correspondence you received in your packet on A2 is from the lady you just heard from, Catherine Thompson, Thomas, and she is very enthusiastic about pickleball. We're excited about pickleball. It has been an upcoming trend through California Parks and Rec Society. I've talked with other departments, department heads throughout this county, and just recently the director from OHI, who is getting a lot of pressure from his community to put in some pickleball. So it is definitely a trend, a sport that's progressing and increasing in interest. So we certainly have venues we can do that. The two that come to mind are tennis courts, and you have two hard courts at Montyonk and two at Del Mar, which are soft. So we could look to modify those particular playing surfaces as an option. We certainly could go to a different outdoor venue, and one that comes to mind would be Coleman Park at the basketball court. And the idea would be to stripe two pickleball courts at that location, and then use some portable netting that's freestanding that could be locked with the bike lock against the fencing when we're not playing pickleball and we're playing basketball. So it's an introducing a multi-sport on that particular hard surface, which hopefully would increase the usage and also facilitate this upcoming need of pickleball. And it's a high visibility area, and it's something that we would be doing on a temporary basis only because the master planning for Coleman Park is still out there for us to address. But right now, staff believes that any kind of usage is better than none. So if that's something we could do. And then to continue on with the earlier conversation of indoor pickleball, that we have this facility as a venue. I'm not too sure about the height of the ceiling. If that's an issue, I have to look into that. We have a higher ceiling at the community center, but the ability to get in there on a regular basis will be very difficult with the types of classes we have, the frequency in which they meet, and also the outside usage. So we'll be up against it to bring the sport indoor. I think a high probability of success would be an outdoor court, at least to start with. And my recommendation would be Coleman. If you'd like for staff to do a further investigation on the implementation of pickleball in these courts, we'd be happy to bring back a report to you in January if that becomes a future agenda item later in tonight's meeting.
Yeah, Coleman Park is the first park that came to mind with me. That looks like it'd be the best venue. It's a little underutilized, I think, at the moment, so it'd be perfect. So
I think you should look into it.
I was wondering about the gym at Del Mar School, elementary school.
And it's not there 24/7. Just put a prime time frame on it. That might work at different basketball courts, even Del Mar outside basketball courts there too. So that's an option.
We'll certainly take that in consideration for our report. Thank you.
It sounds like we should make this a future agenda item, or is there a, should we make a motion? Should we
yes, it sounds like there's a lot of interest from commission, so I think when we get to that item tonight, certainly someone up there would want to bring this pickleball item forward and give us some direction on how we can develop our staff report to best utilize our time and resources. That concludes A2 as far as your correspondence. I can certainly move on to A4 if you'd like. If there's something in particular that Commissioner has in mind, please let me know, or else I can hit some highlights. Not hearing any, I'll go to page 1 of the status report. And the status report is obviously A4. We have a lot of items on this report to keep you updated on some of the things that are happening. I will highlight a few. Our administrative policies and programs are listed there, and these are the things that we're working on. If you are interested in participating and volunteering some time on any one of these items, please see staff at your convenience. Commissioner's Workshop for Slow Capra is something that we do annually. That's the San Luis Obispo County Recreation and Parks Administrators Association, and we have our next workshop March the 22nd, 2014. That workshop will be held here in Morro Bay at the Natural History Museum. We will give you more information as it comes forward, but right now we'd love for you to target that date on your calendars, and this is a workshop for commissioners throughout the county to gain knowledge and experience and share ideas with other commissioners and recreation parks professionals. We talked about the solar program out at the Teen Center. Mike didn't mention, but I should mention, we also have 11.4 solar array at the Morro Bay Community Center. And last I checked, we were generating somewhere between 20-22% of our usage. So there is, with the heavy usage, though it's going up, we are combating that with energy efficiency and solar. We talked about the Morro Bay Community Foundation with their next program being February the 15th, Love Letters, the play. Look for the advertisements or, as they say, like us on Facebook. And that's the Morro Bay Community Foundation. We're continuing to do street maintenance. Mike's crew is out there doing all the prep work, which we've just completed prior to the pavement management plan being activated this year in their large repair contract. So some of the legwork in front of that repair work is done by in-house staff, and then a large contractors come in and they're doing large street repairs. And the next large contract in that program will be sealing and coating of certain streets. So it's more of a three-part pavement management plan that we certainly are involved in. We have information in here regarding our youth soccer, our adult leagues, our basketball we had mentioned earlier. Middle school volleyball is something. It's another program that we're doing over at the middle school that has been very successful. We're doing the boys and girls volleyball programs. Their cross country program, track and field, and I believe next year there's some talk about putting in the tennis program as well. So these are programs that we've been offering, and certain things come to light when we're involved in a program or sport, and we'll take boys volleyball, for instance, at the middle school. Not only is it relieved the school of these duties and giving them back to their core responsibilities as an educational institution, but it's allowed us to come in and work volunteer coaches, deal directly with the students, and the payment for the program is individual, not through the school, but from the individual family to us. And important thing is that these students, being youth, are eligible for scholarships through the Morro Bay Community Foundation. So instead of just having a school program, which would not be something that would be scholarship available, they are when the programs are through us. So that's a nice little add-on as we take on these sports programs for our students and our children of the Estero Bay. And we talked a little bit more about Rockies in our web pages. And the last thing on your list is the holiday tree lighting, which will be December the 7th at City Park. I'd open up for any questions and recommend commission accept this report for file.
I have a question. Regarding the street maintenance, you know, you say that the priorities are established, but I'm wondering if you could be more specific. Which sections of
text is certain conditions of the street, and that's where they get their priorities. So these streets are from best to worst, and the pavement management plan is keeping the good streets good. We're now addressing the failing streets and the larger street repairs, and that's where we split off, and there's two contracts this year, as well as in-house doing some pre-work. So we're really trying to be efficient with our money, getting more bang, more street work done, and I think that folks in North Morro Bay are starting to see a lot more work being done. And so specific streets, where you're at on the list, it would be a good one to either check our website or give a call to our Public Works Department.
Thank you. I think that a lot of people appreciate that information. Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions?
No other questions.
Staff is hoping for commission to accept this report for file.
I'll make a motion to accept this report for file.
Those in favor?
Aye.
We don't have any public hearings tonight, but we do have some unfinished business. Review work program. Mr. Woods.
Thank you, Chair Bates. I know you're tired of hearing from me, but the next item, I promise, I'll have another speaker. Karen will take on the next one. This work program is brought to you annually. It's a little before our schedule to come to you in November with this, but we'd like to give you a review of the work program to get you a little bit more familiar with it, and then at your next meeting in January, delve into the nuts and bolts of this work program as it relates to fiscal year 2014-15. So it'll be 14-15 we'll be working on in January. This one is a mid-year review to allow you the opportunity to recognize our services and projects and programs being addressed and offered to the community. Furthermore, this review will allow you additional input into this current work program. Please note, on October the 22nd of this year, at their regular meeting, City Council requested that the Recreation Parks Commission review the work program with the Northern Waterfront Implementation Plan, the NWIP, in mind, and try to accomplish as much of the program as possible with the current balance of park and lieu fees. So basically that translates to, as staff went back to council in October, we asked them if we'd like to continue our efforts on master planning, Coleman, Target Rock, and the Rock parking lot, as the previous council had requested. Your current city council chose to put that on hold, and they've asked us to review the work program and the amount of park and lieu monies that we have received, and see if there's another area in which we may want to reprioritize to address this fiscal year. Please note that the different program services or capital projects that are listed in the work program, the prices vary, the fiscal impact varies, And we can address those individually if the commission would like to do that. This is not a formal motion at the end of this report, other than an acceptance of this for file, and possibly a special note with an emphasis on a reprioritizing a project, service, or program in which comes through tonight's discussion. And I will get into the work program, and I'm going to go through this a little bit more rapidly and tell you some of the things that you could probably put an X in that are either not applicable or have been completed. And you can make those notes. So on page one, division administration, there are actually three pages that goes to line item 1 through 29. And all of these programs and services are continuing to be offered. Number 15, that is duly noted that our serving as the ADA coordinator for public facilities has been transferred to engineering services over public services. Number 17, as noted, it was deleted due to budget cuts back in 04, as well as number 22, which is our volunteer and sponsors awards program. The other programs you can look at is the Division of Commission, and these are items in which we've set forth for the commission to accomplish this next fiscal year, or this current fiscal year. All these items have been addressed, and all of them have been active. The Recreational Sports and Fitness Division, some things are not happening. Number seven is we are not providing a recreational sports authority for review of play. We are not providing a sports authority board for review of programs. So seven and eight have not been offered. Everything up to that point has been offered. Number 11 has been discontinued, and that is the offering of adult co-ed soccer. And we explained the termination of that particular program at previous meetings, but that is, I think there's still a need. It has waned a bit since we initiated this particular league, and those adults who are playing do play now, but it's just not on our side. I believe most of the play is being done on school district sites. We have not made any movement or direction with 3-on-3 summer basketball tournament. And turning the page, we have not conducted adult basketball programs since 03-04 based on budget cuts as well. On the capital projects for sports, you'll see that we have completed several of these items. The tennis courts have been built at Del Mar. C, the scoreboards have been replaced out at Lila Kaiser. D, the bleachers have been replaced out at Lila Kaiser East and West Fields. And E, we have resurfaced the basketball court at City Park with new basketball standards, backgrounds, backboards, and hoops. And we are currently getting bids to paint the basketball court at City Park, and we are getting some support from the Morro Bay Firefighters Association, and we're hoping to parlay that particular project into repainting the hard courts at Del Mar, and if appropriate, additional pickleball courts somewhere in town. So the whole painting of the courts is kind of blending together. Youth Services Division, the one item we're not offering are teen trips based on cost and participation. So that if it comes back, it's going to be by demand. The rest of these programs are still being offered. The capital projects for the youth services are the teen center. And you'll remember last year we did apply for a large grant from Proposition 84. We were unsuccessful, but we will continue to look for a funding source. And currently we are looking to renovate the existing skate park, which is the modular skate park, and make some way for it to move back to the back part of our lot as listed in our master plan. The next division is facilities, and the facilities division has quite a bit of activity. All these activities are currently happening. And some of the capital projects have been complete. Letter B on capital, which is the remodel of some interior rooms at City Hall. There's a back break room we worked on. The restrooms were redone. We did some flooring work along the hallway and the front lobby. So we've done a little bit of work there. We've obviously done the re-roofing at 714 Embarcadero, and we have painted the exterior of the community center. We are looking, as Mike said, to work on our HVAC units. They are the cost recovery for an HVAC unit is a long time. It is 8-10 years plus to get any kind of efficiency, though. So the more money we spend on a high efficiency, it really is the more you have to use it. So the less efficiency, the less you're going to use it, but it's not as efficient, and they're cheaper. So we're looking for a happy medium. We're looking for funding, and Mike is certainly going to be pursuing that till it gets complete. The Parks Division, you'll see that we have 1 through 10 on our program, on our work program. All these are happening. Some of them are partially done. Number one, we are replacing our city park signs. You guys saw that on last parks tour. Mariner, City Park, as well as Anchor Memorial Park have all have new signs. And as we go through new programs and new improvements in different sites, we'll be looking at their signage as well. We'll be working on number three is later tonight as far as the pesticide application and our integrated pest management policy that we're setting. A draft use need to be redone. The tables are old and some have dilapidated. The surfacing there needs to be some work, and we have an opportunity to rearrange that to better facilitate groups, end of the season barbecues, things like that. The replacement of place structures is going to be on here, something that we will be needing to address and probably more systematic than we have in the past. And those will be playground structures at Tylands Park, City Park, Coleman. We have recently worked on the play structure at the Cloisters. And instead of a $100,000 complete replacement, we spent about a tenth of that in working that play structure to the point where it is safe and operable. The last was the connection of the transfer platform to the slide. That took us an unusual amount of time to replace, and we inconvenienced quite a bit of park users. We apologize to all the park users that went out there, the Cloisters residents, anybody who's wanting to slide there and couldn't slide there, know, please, that now you can, and that play structure is safe. We think it's really important that these play structures and park amenities are safe to the public, and if there's any question or risk that we're uncomfortable with, we're not going to let it open and let it be used. So it was a tough one. I took a lot of I took a lot of feedback from folks who were a little disgruntled about not getting it open sooner. And all I can say is that it's open now and it is safe. And we're working to continue to improve our delivery. And so that is a playground structures are something that we should be looking at. They are large ticket items, and it's something that we should definitely keep you aware of. And then there's also turf elimination. Part of our program we started a few years ago. The next big one is slated is the one right out here, the Vets Memorial Building. A lot of turf here. And it's what we call non-functionary turf. So it's not a place, it's not a soccer field, it's not a baseball field. It's just ornamental turf, and right now it takes a lot of maintenance, takes a lot of water, and we certainly have that on our schedule to replace. And that concludes my highlights of the current work program. I'd be happy to go over any items that you have of concern, and then allow you some discussion time to talk about council's direction on any other projects or services or programs that we could offer in lieu of doing the master planning down at Coleman and Target Rock and Rock. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Does anybody have any questions or comments of the program?
I was wondering if it's too soon to put the BMX park on there, the BMX bike park. Is it too soon to put that on there?
Are you talking about putting the bike park on our work program?
Yes.
We certainly could do that.
Okay.
I'd be a little ahead of the game in putting it on the current one, but I think in January, as we develop the 14-15 work program, we'll certainly be appropriate there.
Okay.
And if I understand this right, the my two concerns are Del Mar parking lot and the restrooms. And as far as moving them up on the list would certainly be a priority as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
Okay. I appreciate that. And it's duly noted. And like I said, we have a certain amount of funds currently available to us through our general fund, and a smaller amount that is available through park in lieu. And park in lieu is something that comes to us, as you know, as subdivisions occur. And if there's no parkland dedication, then there is park in lieu monies that are paid Quimby Act fees. And so those fees would be used for park improvements. And so when they come up, and right now I think we're just under 70,000. I don't have an exact number for you this evening. It's in the 60s. And there are a couple of more subdivisions that are out there that are getting fairly close to recording their maps, and that's when these fees are due. So if we don't have enough funds to build this new restroom with the current ones, if you're saying, hey, we want to do this, replace the Del Mar restroom with your current funds and then hang on to them until more funds come in, we can do the replacement, then that will be a direct. It is in the city's best interest to improve that site in order for it to receive this public art. And we don't have a site-specific plan, and my staff's recommendation would be to allocate some funds, and right now the most available is the park in lieu funds, to do the site-specific planning to receive this public art donation, which is basically in the southwest corner of Target Rock, if you're unfamiliar with it. It's right by the gate that goes into the state park, which is on the south side of the rock, and there is an area there. It isn't a huge development. It would be a matter of possibly, and initially this is just a concept that I've come up with, would be a couple of serpentine-shaped benches that would mimic the bench style on the roundabout, which is basically out of rock, low profile, no back. You can sit on either side. It serpentines with the sculptures that you saw today incorporated in that. And maybe the young boy is sitting on at the end of the bench fishing, and mom and the girl are inside of that. And then there's also an area in which information could be displayed or names could be mounted for fundraising that they've alluded to, that they're still working on some fees, some monies. So there's opportunity for that. I think that plan should come out in a form that we could go out to bid and get it constructed. So there is some cost associated with doing that kind of a plan and getting that site ready for this public art. That certainly is an immediate need. So it would be something you would want to consider tonight if there was a motion coming out of tonight's discussion.
I have one comment on, just to follow up on that. as far as putting them out there, is there a security problem, you think? Because we do have this one certain vandal that keeps going through the boardwalk, putting certain things on benches and that. So I was wondering if there's some way we could, I don't know how, stop the van from graffitiing that.
It's a good observation. I believe, yeah, we can try to stop and be preventative before the graffiti goes, unless we want to have three figures all named Jesus, because that's been a lot of the graffiti that we've been getting, and I don't mean to make light of it. But as far as security, they will be secured in place, so they won't be able to be removed, pulled out. Vehicles will have a hindrance in getting to these based on either boulder placement or the seating, whichever the design comes up. I certainly don't want to dictate any of that. Is not my call. But they would be coated. They are waxed. There's a certain type of wax that the group will be putting on these figurines, statues, so that if they're easily washed, and I would imagine graffiti's tough. We try to eliminate it as soon as we can. And we can basically hope for the best. And in the interim, preventative, as far as the coating on the particular figurines, and so cleanup is quick and easy. So it's an issue. It shouldn't be too much of an issue on these, but when it does happen, we'll be addressing it as soon as possible.
I just have one more comment, if I could. On the rental of the sporting equipment?
Yes.
This is for the benefit of the thousands that watch us on TV. Is it strictly just for residents, or can, like, tourists come in and rent it for a day or two?
You bet. Our equipment rental bags are open to the public, resident or not. We do ask that there's an adult who pays and signs for them. We don't rent them out to minors.
And where do they pick those up?
All these sports bags are available at the Morro Bay Community Center, 1001 Kennedy Way, and our phone number is 772-6278.
Thank you.
Certainly.
So is the bronze sculpture, is that added to the work program yet? That should be on there, too, since that's going to require maintenance, and right?
That's a good question. It's not on our work program.
Don't you think we should add it?
We certainly would want to add that onto our work program. We're going to be addressing issues that go along with that. Generally, after we accept public art, there's a public art agreement that we enter into with the group that's donating and having some obligations putting back on them as far as the maintenance of particular art that's being donated. You're the highest priority, and you want us to go back and really concentrate on getting that particular project done with the available funds, we will do that.
And then add the parking lots for Del Mar.
Parking lot is the Del Mar parking lot will be a very expensive. I think we put it out, and we estimated between $150,000 and
$160,000. Do you ever just take funds and just like put it in the savings for that, like towards, so you're allocating it so that gradually over time you get more and more? Do you know what I mean?
We haven't done that for all the items on your work program. There are certain funds that we have utilized. The deferred maintenance is one of them, whereas monies are kept there and they are used for maintenance projects that have been deferred. But we would like to obviously continue that practice with our playground structures and possibly restroom structures as well.
Okay, yeah, I feel like we need to concentrate on fixing what we have before we go and move forward to developing the waterfront down there with Coleman Park and the harbor. I just think that, you know, there's things that are still falling apart in our parks that we have now with Del Mar and Lila Kaiser. They could use some improvements. So I would just put my opinion forth with concentrating on bettering what we have prior to building anything new.
Noted. Do we have any other discussion so we can give them a motion or a direction?
Well, no, I definitely agree. I definitely agree that we should take care of what we already have before we expand out to more things. Because there's only so much money, and if you get too much out there, you can't keep anything up. So we might as well concentrate on what we got to maintain it, bring it up to snuff, bring it up to par, and then if there's any left over, we can kind of go on from there. But I think restrooms are very important. That's it gives the city a, you know, it gives us a impression. If we don't keep those things up, it looks like we're a trashy town. Mm-hmm. So we need to keep the facilities up, and when people come to visit us, say, wow, this is a nice town.
I think that was part of what the council was possibly part of their intent in saying not putting forward $60,000, $70,000 into a master plan, but reallocating that money into something tangible and working on what we have now. And I think that that is something that staff has definitely agrees on. So the commission is certainly on board. What in our work program is a priority in which we want to bump to the front and really put some effort and resources in? I agree with the fact that we should take care of what we have, and that is something that we've been really trying to work on, coming back and doing small improvements and continuing on a consistent basis. Receiving the public art out at the Rock or Target Rock is something that there's been a lot of effort into in the last couple years, and you can tell by the size of this project. And sculptures are coming in at $102,000, and that's a fourth of what they would go on the market. That's a large project. It's a large value of public art. And not being prepared to receive that, I think, would put us in an awkward position. And delaying that project, there's all kinds of things that could come up. It's better to address those sooner than later. And I think that we do have the resources to do some site-specific plans for that. I'm not necessarily advocating spending all of the existing funds on that particular project, but I would certainly want to address at least the planning part of it, the design and construction drawings, and then looking at some funding to construct the site so it's ready. And in spring of 2014 will be soon upon us, and it's talking about 4 to 5 months, even six, to get that site ready. So that's something that I feel that there is a sense of urgency there, as much as there is a sense of urgency to repair what we have. And we do certainly have some restrooms at Monte Young and at Del Mar, at Kaiser, Coleman, all will be needed to be replaced, as well as a few play structures. So there are some large ticket items out there. Where we want to concentrate the immediate resources is what we will be looking for as far as direction. Not necessarily a blanket, yeah, keep doing this, but what specifically have you as a commissioner said, I really want this done, and Commissioner Coxwell has brought forth a couple. He really wants the Del Mar to be worked on, the playground, but the restroom and the parking lot. And I can there's master planning of this entire area is developed. What we've done as far as site prep for this public art would be easily amendable to that master plan. Not necessarily removed, because it is for those who wait, and it's very specific about where it's at, with the boating fleet going in and out of the harbor there, and those family members being at that location as a goodbye point or a welcoming point. So the location is very critical for this particular public art. The improvements are critical in that it is a very high visibility area, and that structures are not what the community has asked for in the past through our public workshops. Fact is, a minimal amount of development west of Embarcadero has been kind of the message. But we still believe that there should be some improvements in the park amenities. There's been some talk about improving the parking system and the pedestrian system down at the Rock parking lot, with the possibility of some recreational elements, and as well as pedestrian and vehicular circulation down at Target Rock. So these items will be addressed, and as a staff point of view, public art, given what these structure, what the sculptures are and where they're at, we feel it is very, very appropriate spot, as we had said in the past, and it's very minimal amount of improvements. And if the seating area was low profile, no backs, out of the natural rock, there were some stones or big, larger rocks that would border the road to keep the vehicular traffic from going into this area. Those kind of things would be, I believe they would be acceptable to the public to receive that. So I do believe that the site needs to be prepared. I do think that there is a commitment by the city to do that. And I think that it should be not to the max, but a minimum effort, but quality effort, something that's well thought out. And I think that's why we're looking for design to come in and take care of that for us.
I'd like to make a motion that staff put that receiving area for the sculpture on the work plan, as well as moving restrooms at Del Mar and parking lot Del Mar priority wise up on the work plan list.
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Discussion first.
Discussion.
Discussion.
Before you have a discussion.
No, after the vote, you always have a discussion. I just have one question on the money allocated for the artwork. Is that coming out of the Rex fund, or is the city going to put some out of their general fund to this?
The funding allocations for the improvements to the sculpture to receive that on site would be coming out of, right now we have dedicated park and lieu funds, was the idea. As this continues, we'll hang on to that, but right now we have not planned on using any general fund money for this particular project.
Well, it kind of seems like we're in a little bit of a pickle because we we told these people that we would put the sculptures up, but we're not ready to or prepared to receive them. So it's a little awkward here because we're at the same time trying to prioritize what's already in the queue, right, with bathrooms and parking lots. So there's kind of a conundrum, it seems to me. I don't know.
If I could, Chair, to respond,
yes, please,
to that item. I have to agree or partially disagree, Commissioner Crowley. The project was brought forth a few years ago. The city was on board. We've known that this has been coming. The fact that it's not on our work program shouldn't disqualify it from getting the attention that the city has put forth in a resolution.
But we're talking about splitting the funds, the park and lieu funds, right? I mean, that's why it's an issue or a conflict, because we're talking about using those funds instead of a different set of funds.
Well, I go back to this concept C. If I can go back to concept C, those two particular sites were going to be detail planned along with the large master plan. Not having that master planning process continue at this time puts us in a situation where we're coming back and saying, hey, we're not going to continue the master planning. There are other things on your work program that you've identified tonight, and we have that as a motion, and I appreciate that. But it doesn't bring too much of more of attention away from what we're trying to do. We still are looking to improve the site at the fisherman sculpture, and we are still looking to do the beach access ramp. If that's not a priority to the commission right now, we understand that. We would still be looking for funds in a way until we can improve the site to receive their public art. And if we don't, then it would have to be staged in an off-site area until we have enough funds to do that. Okay. I don't think it would be in our best interest or the donor's best interest to put that public art in the middle of an open area where vandalism or any kind of other damage that may occur based on the physical elements and layout of that particular site.
So, Joe? So what I'm thinking is if you went in there and just leveled the site, put down the DG or whatever, compacted it, put up your rocks to keep the vehicles out and your couple of benches, then you could set it up, and then later on down the road, when we have the master plan, spiff it up to fit into the master plan. That's what I'm hearing?
That's certainly,
basically.
I think
Joe just wants to keep it as a simple, we'll just go in there, level it, make it ready for the sculpture, not any bells or whistles, put the sculpture in, and as we get funds, improve it and incorporate it into the, you know, add the walkway or whatever down the road.
All right, I get it.
Do the minimal to make it presentable and safe.
I disagree, though. I think if we're going to do it, we should do it right. Because once it's in there, it's going to be either classy or not classy. And if it's going to be, you know, those who wait, make it comfortable, have a have a backing to the bench, do it really nice. Do it, you know, so that we can be proud of it. And so I'm saying I disagree. I would wait until we have the funds.
Well, I disagree with you. As I say, we put it in the best we can now and then improve it as money allows. Because you look at all these different things. We're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars of improvements. And so we're going to have to make compromises. And, you know, not a lot of sculptures always have places to you know, people stand there and look at them. They don't have to, or they can sit in their car. They don't necessarily have to have, you know, picnic there. But I'm just saying, go ahead and get the area leveled, get it defined.
Yeah.
You know, or at least give us, at least have estimates of what that's going
to
cost.
Well, to me, it's a little bit different. These are really nice bronze sculptures that.
Well, but where they are is a billion-dollar priceless view. I mean, that's the
right.
The money is you're looking at the sculptures in the ocean. You're not looking at what kind of dirt you got down or plants. You're looking at those sculptures and the beauty of, you know, Montana de Oro or out to sea, depending which way you're looking.
Well, to me, the space is awesome. The container. So the space really deserves and needs to be honored. To contain the sculpture.
Wear nice shoes.
So I just say, wait, do it up, do it right, or not at all.
Doing it right could also mean that it gets improved in the future, you know, as funds are available. What I was hearing from Mr. Woods was we need to have at least a professional, well-thought-out, minimal effort there at a minimum.
Adequate.
At a minimum, to receive this art. But if we get into the process and those that design things come to us with something that's within our grasp, I would think that we would jump on that.
I do have a tentative meeting next Monday with the design team to come back and scale back some of the work that was proposed on the master planning and isolate just on this. There'll still be some hurdles to go over. Where this is located in the permitting isn't going to be, pardon the pun, walk in the park. There's going to be some things that we need to get through to get the approvals. And as I said earlier, it would be nice to get through those sooner than later because we know that inevitably these sculptures will be made, and they will be going out there. And so how we address that and our timing and the amount of resources we put in is going to be determined through, obviously, your input, council's input, and more importantly, the community's input.
I think if we could come up with a design, that's first, is figure out a design and what the cost is going to be on that. And maybe if it's...
So.
So if I could, Chair, I just want to make sure I understand some of the direction and the recommendations from the Recreation and Parks Commission that the staff look into utilizing the current parking loop funds to rehab the restroom, or replace the restroom, I should say, at Del Mar Park, as well as the resurfacing of the parking lot at Del Mar Park, which that was a second in motion and I believe voted. And it sounds like there might be some interest in allocating some funds to the planning process to receive the public art, but not all of the funds. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe that's a bit of a steering. Is that, am I hearing that as an interest? Would that be something that you'd be interested or consider backing?
I believe my motion was to prepare a site to receive the art in addition to the Del Mar Park improvements.
Okay, and that's where I may have lost your motion, because I thought you had said to put the sculpture on the work program and then prioritize the restroom and the parking lot. Did I miss that?
No, I did say to put it on the work program.
And now are you saying that you're wanting to change that and actually allocate some funds to the site?
I don't think I'm saying that at all.
Okay. Celeste, I want to be clear with
you. Do you have what my motion was?
No, I have a question. Is Del Mar, is that the worst restroom we have? Is that why it's at the top of the list?
Yeah.
Okay. Without a doubt, okay. Because I go tomorrow and look at them all. Okay. I just want to make sure that that was the right way to go. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll start new business now.
Nope. Do we need to make a motion?
Didn't you need... Is his motion still good?
Oh, we haven't voted on anything.
I thought there was a quick vote.
I thought it was a yes.
That vote pulled for discussion. Yes, if that vote was pulled for discussion, then we certainly would look for a vote for the motion and second that's on the table.
Oops, sorry. I'm going to withdraw my second. Sorry, because I'm going to vote against it.
I'll second it.
You have a motion and second on the table.
Okay.
We're looking for a vote.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Those opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Okay. Someone's ready for a presentation. I can see. So, program evaluations with Karen Sweeney.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Bates and Commissioners. I am going to present five program evaluations to you this evening. First one, it will be the 2013 Boys Middle School Volleyball Program, which we started last year. It was held in February to April. We started out with 20 boys came like to tryouts, but we ended up having about 13 boys continue throughout the season due to other obligations of sports. Kids were playing baseball. So we had some kids that were doing both volleyball and track and field, and they were trying to make those decisions. So we did have 13 boys participate. Our goal with the middle school program is to recover 100% of our costs. The district does provide us the space for the program, so we did not have the facility costs for this program, and we were able to recover 100% of our costs with this program. One thing of note, which we discussed last time that I was here, is that we are including an indirect revenue, which would be the cost of our volunteers to our programs. And the volunteer coaches, we had two coaches with the boys volleyball program, and the indirect revenue that they produced was $1,550, which raises our revenue, our cost recovery, to like 312% if we included that dollar amount. This was a dollar amount that we did not have to provide staff to pay staff to coach. And that number comes from the national group, the Independent Sector Value of Volunteers, is their 2012 rate, which is $22.14 an hour. So value of volunteers in our community to our youth is very important, and we are highlighting that in our program evaluations. We will be working on that this year as a volunteer. Her name is Karen Smith, and she is put in a lot of time and effort with the kids. At our first track meet at Cal Poly, one of our seventh grade boys won the discus event. So that is very helpful to have that. We did have some issues with having coaches for the other events, and staff, myself, had to step in to make sure that the kids were able to get a season of track and field. So this program did not meet its cost recovery goal, and our goal for this next year is to raise our costs to cover the unfortunate situation where a volunteer coach is not available. But we are already in the process. We do have a track coach lined up. Ms. Smith has agreed to come back as our throwing coach, and we are talking with a Cal Poly student as to possibly to do the other field events. The goal would be if we don't have a coach for the other field events, those events would not be something that we would offer this season. We would just do the events that we have coaches available and trained for. We did have one meet that was up in Atascadero. The temperature was quite high for our kids, and we may look at not attending that meet this year, because we did have most kids attended that one. There was about eight, and they all got a little bit of heat illness as a result of not being used to the temperature. So we will be looking at that, and so that is our track and field program. Any questions on that? We did not have, since we didn't have a lot of kids participating in the meets, we did have a Los Osos middle school track and field competition, and we pitted the boys versus the girls and had them, everyone, since we had the throwing coach, we had all the kids participate in the throwing events, plus did some fun relays in addition to regular running events. So that was a great way. We ended the season with that little competition.
And who won?
The girls did.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yes, the girls did.
Yeah.
So any questions about the track and field program? As I said, we do have coaches lined up already for this year, so that is a big relief. The next program is our 2013 Spring Adult Softball Leagues. Those leagues were held in late March through early July. We have three nights of play with four leagues. We have an upper and lower division co-ed, as well as an over 50 league and a men's league. This program, we had 25 teams that participated. This program recovered 91% of our costs, and this is a merit service program with a target revenue goal of 70 to 79%. Some interesting things that will be coming up for this next year is that ASA, which is the governing body for softball, is changing the balls that they will be using for tournament play. And we did try some out during our summer fall league to see how well they were received. In addition to that, ASA changed the bat policy, and we're trying to do some more research to make sure that the balls and bats that we're using are safe for our level of play that we have during our leagues. And I think that is the information on the spring adult softball. Any questions? They do play 10 games with an end-of-season tournament. And as I said, we had 25 teams that participated. The next one is our Rock to Pier Run, the Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run, and the Rocking Around the Pier Half Marathon. This event was held on Saturday, July 13th, and it was the 44th running of the Rock to Pier Run. The city took on the Rock to Pier Run in 1986, and in 2003, we renamed the Rock to Pier Run in honor of Brian Waterbury, who was the founder of the event, along with Terry Record. Mr. Waterbury passed away in 2003. This year, we had, for the Rock to Pier Run, we had 1,287 participants registered, and we had actually 1,072 people participate on the event day. for the half marathon. This was our second year of doing this. Well, we had 250 registered runners, and 227 people completed the event. We had some great support from the community. Shoreline Calvary Chapel provided the breakfast. We had the Teen Action Committee and Morro Bay Foursquare Church volunteers. Plus, we had about 90 hours of volunteer service this time for the Rock to Pier Run, with just people in the community wanting to come down and help us with registration or at the water stations, or even, so that's just under $2,000 in like indirect revenue that we received. And just a couple of big things that we need to work on for the future, which is a constant battle, is our water stations need to be closer to the water line. They tend to be moved up a little bit within the idea of the tide as the tide comes in, but we do need to get them down closer to the water so that the first runners are able to get to them without having to leave the course. And then another thing that we're going to look at is having our staff and our volunteers in different color shirts and hats so they're more easily identified at the event. And also, we're also looking at trying to find to designate someone as our announcer and as a photographer for our event, because it makes it hard on staff when we're trying to put out fires and trying to do the announcing and everything else at the same time. So the Rock to Pier Run did recover 100% of its cost with a net profit of $2,600. And we recovered 106% of our costs. Any questions on the Rock to Pier Run?
There was over 1,000participants?
Yeah, there were in the Rock to Pier Run itself, there was over 1,000 participants. Plus, we had an additional 227 participants in the half marathon.
Is that a record number, or is it, have you guys?
That it's we had more the year before, but that is we've been in the 1,200 registered participants for the Rock to Pier Run, and we did add an additional 50 participants to the half marathon this past year. We want to make sure before we make it bigger that we can support our course can support it and our staff can support the event. Because quality over quantity is always
it sounds like a lot
goal.
Of people.
Yes. it's a lot of people, but it's a lot of fun. We do have buses that bring the people that run to the pier, bring them back to have breakfast at the Rock. And we do have a little bit of challenge with our course in that the half marathon, they do a little mile loop through the cloisters on the way back. So they, at the mile, about 11, 12, they're having to run in the soft sand, and that's which is a little bit of a challenge. And then our last event that we have that we are reviewing tonight is our Labor Day softball tournament. It is a men's open softball tournament. It was held August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd. We had 21 teams in attendance this year, with four from the Central Coast area, and most of the rest were from the Valley. SynCal Heat was the tournament champions. They won the final game 31-11. We had this tournament as an unlimited home run tournament, and we had 420 home runs hit over the weekend, and which was up about 16 from last year. And our home run champion, I believe, is a repeat from the last couple of years, and he hit 15 home runs over the weekend, and that was Richard Gallagher from one of the Valley teams called Team Sizzle. The team that won the tournament did hit 22 home runs in one game on our short field with our restricted flight ball. So if they would have had the hotter ball, which is what ASA is kind of going to with the new bats, that number probably would have been a lot higher. The score in that game was like 56-4, I believe. our cost recovery was 116%, and it is an enterprise program, so we do need to recover 100% of our costs. Registration is a battle with us because a lot of the teams are a little wishy-washy. They want to come, but they don't put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, until the last minute. So we do want to look at possibly doing a discount for if you register before a certain date. We also want to meet with the special events team to make sure that they're on board with what we're doing at our program. We also work with the Morro Bay Garbage Company to provide recycling containers for the event so that we have those available so that we help with the waste at the event. We're also looking at trying to find a bat manufacturer or increasing our cost a little bit to reduce the illegal bats because it is an unlimited home run event. People tend to bring bats that are quote-unquote hot or have been shaved, and we have no way of detecting that. You know, you can suspect it, but unless you cut the bat open, you have no way of checking that. And so one way tournaments are getting by that is that they purchase bats for the event, and that's the teams can also get people to register earlier so we can have a better numbers. So,
right. Yeah, it helps
and
logistics.
And it does help a lot.
Yeah, good idea.
Any other questions or comments about these reports, evaluations?
No, thank you very much.
Okay. So just have you accept these for file, program evaluations file.
I can make a motion we accept these for file.
I'll second the motion.
Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None?
Okay.
Don't cork
thank you
your
very
back,
much.
Kids.
Thank you.
I did.
Ow.
I did. Oh, you know.
Thank you, Karen. Mm-hmm. Next up is D2, initial review of proposed integrated pest management policy. Mr. Woods.
Thank you, Chair Bates. This item is brought to you on recommendation and direction from City Council. I have to break protocol for a slight moment. I was advised that there was a member of the public that was here who was under the impression that she could speak on each item as a public hearing or public comments before each item, very similar to what City Council is doing now. And I advise you that we only had public comment at the beginning of our meeting and not on every item. Staff will be looking into that consistency, and if council is obligating us to do that, we will let you know prior to your next meeting. But if I could, she did have a written letter, a correspondence to staff and the commission regarding this particular item. And if I could go through the seven bullet points, I'll do that, and then we could accept
okay.
that, and then I can move on my report. So a public report. This is a public comment from Marge Legerton, and she is the leader of Save Our Squirrels. And I will not be ad-libbing nor putting any opinion in this, just reading it as it is written and possibly give comment during my report. Here are some of the points. One, Mr. Woods is trying to make a good faith attempt to give the city a policy for direction it currently doesn't have, period. Number two, while the template he has chosen reflects technicalities of federal and state law, it needs to be molded to fit Morro Bay, period. Number three, this policy discussion is before you tonight because city put out poison in city parks to kill squirrels. Having read this policy proposal, the way that was done would not be allowed. Number five, the word pest is too broadly defined. The scope needs to be narrowed to just rodents, the immediate concern, or broken into separate sections for insects and plants. And number six, the city policy needs to reflect our values and how those values will be encompassed in the objections in the action plan. And number seven, members of our organization would be happy to serve as a subcommittee with members of the Recreation Parks Commission. I did ad lib that. It was just the commission to help craft an appropriate policy, period, and end of correspondence. Tonight, D2 is brought to you. It's called the initial review of the proposed integrated pest management policy. The city has provided pest management for years, but has not formally enacted a policy. Adoption of a written policy and procedures for making pest management decisions provides the city with an efficient and effective way to respond to questions from the public, and at the same time improves the city's internal decision-making process, resulting in a more efficient and more effective and a safer resolution to pest problems. Involving the public and employees in the development and evolution of the pest management policy will help educate the community on the potential hazards as well as the benefits of pest management practices. The purpose of the policy is to develop an integrated pest management, also known as an integrated pest control program, that supports the proper handling and application of necessary pesticides while limiting the use of non-essential pesticides on public lands, and specifically in Morro Bay. The IPM, as we'll call it, will provide the structure and the protocol to ensure consistent response to selected pest situations. People in our community often want justifications for the use of certain types of pesticides, and at the same time may demand to know why the agency, the city, isn't doing and safe in certain areas. So in conclusion of the report, I would bring your attention to the attached integrated pest management policy itself, which is in draft form, which is stated in the top right-hand corner. This starts, and I'll go through this policy briefly, then we'll certainly give it back to the chair and commission for discussion. Number one, the purpose. We've touched base on the purposes of that through my report and the need of the policy as well. I think that it is beneficial to have something that's consistent, knowing that we are not, city employees are not currently applicants of pesticide. We do apply herbicides occasionally and very site-specific, limited time, short durations. But the pesticides that we have used and have been referenced in the public comment earlier of the squirrels at Tylands Park, that was done with an outside contractor who is licensed to handle that material. We are not licensed to do that, because there are quite a few regulations tied to those applicant licensing. The third is the policy statement, and you'll see in here our policy statement, basically the principles and practices of our particular program. Minimize the risk of human health and environment. Utilize site-specific information to determine appropriate pest management decisions. So this is a case-by-case. One area it might be bees or hornets. Another might be termites. It could be squirrels. It could be certain types of insects that are white flies or whatever else is maybe going into our vegetation. We are looking to maximize the use of natural controls and alternatives to the use of pesticides and emphasize prevention. And we have done these applications, pardon me, in several locations. We've introduced mosquito-eating fish out at the reservoir at the cloisters, as well as bat boxes, which hopes the bats would come and live there and prey on the mosquitoes and other insects. We have recently received donations from the Boy Scouts with two owl boxes, and those owl boxes will be put up at Lila Kaiser in Del Mar. Hopefully we'll get a few barn owls in and help reduce some of the rodent population, or should I say manage it to a controllable level, certainly not to devastate or wipe out completely. We are looking to minimize the reliance upon chemical controls, as well as considering the community's values and the standards in which they want for our public land. And so the input from Save Our Squirrels group and any other group that's out there or community members, those are important views for us. And we do have from time to time community members who will voice concerns. Recently, the dog park, we've got an individual who's called us about spraying there, and we do spray underneath the fence line to keep the turf down, so the weed whacking and the mowing is a little bit more efficient for our staff resources. So we're considerate with that. There's probably a few more that have just escaped me right now. But getting back to this particular draft version, 4 is the application of the process, and 5 is a bigger one. It is really the IPC and IPM program, which basically aims to suppress the pest population below the economic injury level. So what we're saying here is we don't want to eliminate all the squirrels in one particular area, but we certainly wouldn't want them to overpopulate to the point where they're undermining our real estate, endangering park participants, in any other type of infrastructure that they might be harming. So there are permissible levels. It's individualized by the type of area, habitat, design, and what pest is out there. You'll see that we go through several components within this program: acceptable pest levels, prevention of cultural practices, monitoring, which is inspection and identification, and then really some of the nuts and bolts are D, E, and F, which state mechanical controls, which we would be looking to introduce, hand picking or erecting insect barriers of some type, using traps, those kind of mechanical devices to control particular pests, biological, which I brought forth earlier with the fish and the birds of prey, and then obviously resulting in, if we didn't care, they would be complying with all the state and federal laws, regulations, and guidelines, and policies, and procedures. We would be inserting that date on 9.0 as when we would want that enacted, and that date's not on there because this is a draft. And then we get into some of the benefits are listed in our conclusions. We go into definitions, and there's two appendices, pardon me, A and B. One is the exempt pesticide products, and those are listed, and those come straight out of California Code of Regulations, Title III, Food and Ag. B is pesticide field posting requirements, and they look, though we don't, like I said earlier, we're not doing pesticides, but if we were having a contract out there, they would have the posting of a sign that's roughly like this. Excuse me. Skull and crossbones, danger, don't come in. And then if it was anything of any length of time, more information would be applied to this particular posting sign. So that concludes my report on this draft version of the integrated pest management policy. I would be certainly amenable to answer any questions, allow the commission to do any kind of discussion they'd like, and then go with some kind of a direction either to accept this as stated in our alternatives, to approve this as presented, or amend, edit any suggestions that you might have, or continue on with the draft with a subcommittee, and that's inviting anybody from the public, in particular those who have stepped up from the SOS, Save Our Squirrels, and maybe a rep or two from that group, maybe one or two from the commission if appropriate or desired with staff, and we can go through some details if that's the direction that the commission wants. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woods.
Well, it is a hot topic in this town. Can I say a few things?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes, please. Excuse me. Yeah, I've had some Morro Bay residents contact me about this. Of course, their concerns are the same as everybody else, you know, protecting the water sources, protecting the bees, because there is a problem with bees in this area. To tailor it to our own area, I think this is very comprehensive. I think we probably should have a subcommittee to make sure that the public is heard. But I think the bottom line is that your crew does some of this work, right? Right, so that your guys are properly trained, and even when we have outside contractors, that one of our Parks and Recreation guys goes to make sure that it's done to the letter, that the signs are posted, that they're not, you know, vandalized the next day, to keep it safe, because people are concerned about their pets getting into the stuff. You know, a lot of people have cats that are out, you know, all day running around. And, of course, dogs that shouldn't be running off leash but do. And children, you know how kids are. They'll mess with anything that they don't, you know, that looks colorful. So I think as long as I think first off, this is very, very comprehensive and very well done. I would like to include the public to make sure that they're happy with our work. And I'd like the buck to stop with us, you know, with the Parks and Rec, that we maintain, you know, a close eye on this so that we protect the environment, because that's part of our job, not just building parks, but, you know, making sure that everything around them, that there's no fallout on everybody else from what we're doing. So thank you.
I agree with Drew 100%. But I'd like to respond to the public comment. If we could get together maybe with the SOS and have them, she mentioned about making the public aware of don't feed the squirrels. Maybe if we could get them to put some money into it, we'd get a bigger, better sign to let people know that it's danger to the squirrels by feeding them, because, like I said, it causes them the false sense of overpopulation. And also, I think, isn't it against the law to feed wild animals?
Yeah.
So maybe we could get a bigger sign and have them pay for it, put it all up there.
Okay. Instead of saving, maybe they can adopt them.
It is against the law to feed wildlife within 100 feet of the harbor, and we do have signs posted to that it's not as big as maybe you'd like it to be. There's one on both ends of Tylands Park, and there's also some posting out at the Rock. It is something that is a lot of folks like to do it, and we understand that. However, there is an ordinance against it, and there are reasons why. And the overpopulation of a particular species, particularly these ground squirrels, has been problematic.
Mm.
Yes, they have.
But it messes up their internal organs, and then they pass these defects on to others. But if you want to lose your lunch, just go down there and take your eye off for a minute. The seagulls will carry it off. Yeah. And it's just so, yeah.
Well, I think it's
in the formation of this policy, but I think that would be in our best interest to let you know that I do want to meet with them. I think that it's important to have them come in. We'll certainly accept your direction on this policy, but I think that if there's any commissioner who would want to come to that meeting, and I'm looking over at Commissioner Sedaris, that if he would like to meet with staff as well as the reps from the SOS, I think it would be it would be good direction for the city to accept their input.
Sure.
And so if that's that doesn't have to be part of a motion, it's just something that I want
to
maybe
make a second motion on that, and just keep the policy and then work with the public as needed.
I think so, and if you maybe wanted to do officially dedicate Commissioner Sedaris to follow up with staff, that would be ideal for me.
You
go with them? Okay. So do we need to do that in a motion, or can we just, he's agreed to it?
I think that we could just say that we're going to be doing that.
Okay.
So
Commissioner Sedaris,
I don't want to leave a group that's very interested in participating outside. I really want them to continue their involvement.
So Commissioner Sedaris will be working with staff and the SOS group.
And would you please instruct the owls in the owl box to not park outside my bedroom window all night long?
Who?
You feed them once in a while.
One man's pest is another man's friend. So.
That's right.
But we will take that the previous item very seriously. So thank you very much for your input, and Commissioner Sedaris, your support. Moving on to item D3, which is a review of the 2014 Recreation Parks Commission meeting calendar. This is something that I don't know if we've done this officially in the past, but staff feels it's important for us to discuss the meetings that we have, the value of each meeting, and set up a schedule for the coming calendar year. to best utilize our time and to have proper planning for you commissioners. We currently meet on the third Thursday of the odd months. That brings us to six regular meetings a year. One of those meetings has been consumed by a parks tour that is typically in the month of July, which we'd like to think are warmer days, but they certainly are longer sunshine. So that's when we meet now, and there's been several things that have come up in the last couple years of worth discussion. Number one, having only meetings six times a year, it puts us off of a calendar and other venues. City Council will fill seats in January for those of you have whose terms are expiring and any vacancies, as we see in the far left-hand corner. So those come in January, generally the second meeting in January, which puts us right after we have our January meeting on the third Thursday. Your next meeting is in March. So you have possibly new appointees coming in January and not having a meeting for 2 months. So it puts them a little bit of a disadvantage, particularly because we're going into some fundraising. The workshop is going to be in March. The spaghetti dinner is in March. So some things happening, it'd be good to possibly get a meeting before then, but after your January meeting. And at that meeting, you also have, your appointees as far as the senior representative, which is currently Al Romero, and your chair and your vice chair. So on the second page is your agenda planning guide. And it has on the top, it's the future agenda items, and it has our meeting dates on the left column, the items that we're projected to discuss, and these aren't set in stone until we set them on stone. But you'll see that we have tonight's meeting on here as a regular meeting, and we listed those agenda items. Your next meeting after this evening, if we don't have any special meetings, will be in January. That's the 16th. And we do have some things scheduled for that particular meeting. Okay? And I'll take your attention to the bottom of this page where it says agenda items forwarded to City Council, and right above that, reoccurring annual and monthly reports. And we have listed these just so we can keep tabs of them, so you guys know what's coming up, and you'll know that those items actually are worked in to the above meeting schedule. So, and then above that is the pending agenda items. And this is where staff has generated some agenda items, hopefully move forward into, which is going to be a very active month, is March of every year because of the activities that we have. So I would carefully suggest your consideration for a special meeting in February. And you don't have to make that decision tonight, but you can certainly, you could if you wanted to. And then another consideration on your meeting schedule would be July. Given the fact that you only have six regular meetings with the potential of one special meeting in February, very short meeting, could be followed by a social if we deem necessary. Could be a site, could be something fun. But your parks tour is something that I'd like you to consider taking out of the regular meeting routine and into either a special meeting on its own, and possibly not on a weekday, possibly on a weekend. So we have everyone hopefully would be able to attend. And then also the possibility, if it was on a weekend, like a Saturday morning, that we could invite all of our adoptive park groups either to be on the trolley with us en route or meet us at their site and get a little FaceTime with them.
Yeah.
So like that was the idea with the parks tour. And then the other idea I would have would be with the adoptive park groups to invite one for each one of our meetings that maybe didn't go to the parks tour or want to do both, to come to our meeting and do a presentation on their group, what they've done at the park that they've adopted, their mission, and get them some FaceTime with you and vice versa, get them in front of the camera, spread the word of what they're doing, and they might be able to recruit volunteers. We might get additional Adopt-a-Park groups in there. And I think that it's a way for us to give that community group a little bit more visibility and also just a great understanding of what's going on and really appreciate, hey, this group's out there, you know, every other Saturday doing some hard work and bringing that to the forefront. So those are some of my suggestions regarding the next calendar year. They would include two special meetings. So from 6, you go to 8, but they would be a couple of fun special meetings, one short for the elections and one for a parks tour. I would certainly throw it back into your court for discussion at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. What do you guys think? This, I really like this layout here. It gives me a visual of what to really think about and what to concentrate on and where to put our efforts. Does anybody oppose to Joe's recommendation?
No, I really like the idea of inviting the Adopt-a-Park folks out. You know, that's good. Even Gorilla Gardeners. You know, everybody that helps make Morro Bay a nicer place, it would be nice to recognize them.
Absolutely.
Nice to get to know them a little bit.
Yeah, would that include, like, the tree committee as well, or is that Public Works?
Quick answer to your question. The tree committee is not a group that's in our Adopt-a-Park.
Oh, okay.
Though they have done a lot of services with those groups, they're not an official Adopt-a-Park group.
Okay.
I like the idea. The 20th of March, is that the annual meeting that's going to be held this year here in Morro Bay? The CAPRA, what do you call it?
Slow CAPRA?
The 20th of March is a third Thursday in March, which is your regular scheduled meeting. I think I brought up Slow CAPRA being the 22nd.
It'll be Saturday.
Was there supposed to be a heading with that date? It shows up blank on this on these pages.
Yeah,
it just says 3/20 and it's just blank.
It should say regular meeting.
Okay.
With no agenda items assigned.
Maybe we put the conference on there, too, on the agenda.
We certainly could. Thank you.
So is anybody opposed to this as it is? We don't need to make a motion for this. Just say that we accept. That sounds good?
Yes, sounds good.
You could make a motion if you wanted to adopt your meeting schedule for the next year.
Okay.
If you want us to come back with a meeting schedule in January and you can adopt it at that time,
that would
be fine. We can clean this one up and give you a meeting schedule that includes the two special meetings. Do I understand that that's kind of a direction we're going into?
Mm-hmm. Why don't we just make a motion to have it done right now and not have to come back? Right?
If you have a date in July or you just want to say a
I move that we accept the agenda planning guide and meeting dates as presented by staff with the July tour and the February meeting to be determined.
And I second that motion.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed?
You make good motions.
All right. Future agenda items?
I'd like to request that we look into using Delmar Elementary School for the youth programs. I know there's been occasion where Lilac Kaiser Park has been too busy, and so then those teams are going out to Cayucas to use their fields. I'm just thinking it'd be a good idea to see what's possible over there. Utilize what we have here. Thank you.
Are we going to get the
Well, I have an item.
I move that we could, you know, check into the parks too, in Del Mar, just to verify a backup. I have a future agenda item I'd like to bring up.
Okay.
I've been to a few other cities, and they have what's called Honor Heroes Banner Program. And it's completely no cost to the city. So what it is, I brought a couple pictures of it. I'll pass that down. It's a banner that has a picture of the person that's in the service, has their name and what branch they're in, and at the top it lists the city. This one happened to be the city of Fountain Valley. And they hang it throughout the town. It's very...
I've seen it. These are very impressive.
It is.
Very impressive.
And the program that they have in Fountain Valley, I talked to them, and it's all sponsored. The person that wants to put the banner, you know, it's usually a parent or grandparent, they pay for everything. It pays for the banner printing, pays for taking it up, pays for taking it down, which is about $200 a year. And what they want to do then, if they want to leave it up for more than a year, it's $79 for the next year. Well, there's really no expense. It just kind of helps the little, bringing a little money for the city that way. But I think it's a great program. We should check it out. And I know there's probably a lot of elderly people in town that have grandkids that are in the military, and they want to really let them know they support them. So I think it's a great program. So this is, explains a little more about it, and we can pass it down and maybe give it to Mr. Woods at the end, and he can follow through with it. But I'd like to see that brought up on a special agenda in another meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to see
Do we have a, would it take one more person to be an item? Is there another person that wants to?
No. Oh, no. What?
Bring this up as a future item?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I totally agree.
All right.
You're part of the side track.
That's all right. It's late.
I was trying to confuse you. I haven't had my martini yet.
Yeah.
Hang in there. We're almost done.
We're almost done. Hang in there. Is there any other future agenda items? Was the pickleball? Were we going to make? We had a lot of discussion about that.
It was presented as correspondence, and that there's action to be moved forward, it would have to come from a future agenda item.
Should we just see how much it would cost to
the Coleman Park?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Should start the process, I would imagine. Anybody?
Yo, okay, we're done?
No.
I agree that we should look at the cost before we really see what we do. We should see what the cost is, because it does take, you know, it's very confusing. If, like when I played on basketball down in Palm Valley, when I played on the courts down there, they also had the pickleball courts lined up. So when you're running down there, there's, you know, too many lines. You go, wait, where am I? So it is kind of confusing. So we need to figure out exactly how we want to do it. Same with tennis. I think if you're looking for in the line or out of line, if you're running for it, you see two different lines, or you're going, ooh. So we got to really make sure we can cover all that. And like I say, see what the cost is to get it all started, yes.
So that one's an agenda item also?
Yeah, see what it would cost to set that up at Coleman Park. And then if it takes off, we could look at other venues. But I think we should start with one venue.
We'll try to be as comprehensive in our report as possible.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's it. Can I adjourn this meeting? This meeting's adjourned.